Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is taken from our gospel reading, Mark chapter 9. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, give us eyes to recognize you, ears to receive your word, and hearts to believe its promises. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, O Lord, today and every day. Amen. May 1st, 2003, Aaron Ralston's life changed forever. At the time, he was 27 years old and loved climbing all over the canyons of Utah. What was supposed to be an afternoon outing became a week-long life or death ordeal. On an afternoon hike, he went hiking in a canyon, and out of nowhere, a boulder that weighed 800 pounds came tumbling down, pinning his arm and his hand against the canyon wall. He could not move it. He could not dislodge his arm or his hand from it. Aaron had no way of communicating to the outside world, and all that he had was 20 ounces of water, very little food, some climbing gear, and a pocket knife that he had bought from the dollar store. That's all he had in this extreme situation. For the next 6 days, Aaron exhausted every effort in his body to get dislodged from this boulder. He tried to break the boulder and chip away at it with his knife from the dollar store, but it was no use. He tried his climbing gear around it and tried his best with his other arm to pull up the boulder, but he couldn't do it with one arm. So eventually he got to that point, despite all his best efforts, and when the water was all drunk up, that he realized that there was no rescue crew coming. And if a crew came, they would find him attached to that boulder. It was then when he realized this extreme situation required Aaron Ralston himself on that May 1st, 2003 day that he had only one last option, to cut off his own forearm and hand. In his best-selling novel, which you see the cover here, Between a Rock and a Hard Place, he writes these words almost with no emotion. He says, it was no longer his arm pinned by the 800-pound boulder, it was his life. Aaron made a tourniquet with his climbing gear and performed the surgery. This story portrays each one of our own lives. Aaron had to give up the one thing that stood between him and life. And we are called to do the same. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work in God's Word to convict us of our sins. He is constantly showing us where we have fallen short of God's commands. That is what we call the law. That is the part when I said in Sunday school today where many of you like to sit back and not look at me in my face. That is what is called the law. We do not like being confronted with it. But that's what the Holy Spirit does with the law. He convicts us of our sins. Or like maybe in Sunday school or in confirmation class, I know we're going to talk about this in the next few weeks too. The law does SOS, shows our sin. directly before today's gospel reading, before and after it, the Holy Spirit inspires the gospel writer Mark to write several different examples of how throughout Jesus' ministry shows us our sin. There are instances that confront us as well, because we are like those individuals in those stories. I don't know if you've ever read through the Bible, but there's certain times you read through the Bible and you see yourself looking in the mirror. You see yourself in that story. In today's, before and after today's reading, Jesus' words confront us. The stories confront us. They deal with how we harden our hearts against the commandments of God, or we find ourselves alternating God's word or changing God's word to say that we are actually okay. Other parts of the scripture talks about how we find ourselves trusting in other things to merit our salvation, whether it's our abilities, our maturity, our independence, or even the material things of this world that we think that somehow they can save us. We make them for ourselves our own gods, like we will talk about in confirmation class today. The Holy Spirit is constantly, He's constantly ready to repent us. He wants us to repent. He's constantly wanting us to repent. He's continually works in us to give up those sins, those things that we have done that miss God's mark of perfection. Whether it's these sins I just listed or other sins as well, these sins hold us captive. They hold us a lot like Aaron did when he had that boulder between him and that canyon wall. Our sin likes to hold tightly on us as well. However, repentance is not merely, a careless promise to turn a new leaf. That's not what it is. It's not merely consists of a New Year's Day resolution made in a moment of painful sobriety. That's not what repentance is. In our gospel reading today, repentance is described in drastic, radical, and revolutionary action. Repentance, according to Jesus in today's reading, is more like an amputation. Hear these words again from our gospel text, from Mark chapter 9, starting verse 43. "And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Repentance is something painful. If you ever repented of a sin, you realize how hard it is to say it out loud or even bring it before God as well. Repentance is something that is hurtful, like an amputation. It is not something that is entered into lightly or frivolously. No more than amputation is done as well. Concerning sin in our lives, God demands us today to cut it off. No matter how hard we sinners try to cut it off, aka to repent of our sins, we fail. I don't know about you, but every single week I have to come before this altar and say, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." And I realize that I have sinned over and over again. Even every day we have to go before God, realizing that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. Our good works, our desires to rise above our sins, our self-disciplines that we put before us, or anything else we try, cannot make us overcomers of these shortcomings in our lives. The sin in our lives is precisely the thing that saps us of all power to remove it from ourselves. There is no way that we can take and cut off all the sin of our life. Like in our children's message this morning, no matter if we have the ability to cut off our hands and cut off our feet and pluck our eyes out, there is no way we can stop sinning. We have no ability to and power to overcome our sin. Sin is the thing that causes all our pains, all our heartaches. It is the thing that ultimately will lead to all our deaths. And it can lead to one's eternal condemnation and damnation. Therefore, if it's impossible for us to do this, to fulfill God's demand of today's reading, to cut it off, we have to find a surgeon. We have to find a surgeon that has to come outside of ourselves, outside of this broken, sinful world and creation. There is only one, my brothers and sisters, there's only one surgeon that we can turn to. No others can do the surgery. There's only one that can do it. Heroic as Aaron Ralston's own reputation was on that day, on that May 1st day, all that pales. It pales in comparison to the action done by our great physician. To the actions done by Him. God's only begotten Son, Jesus, came to be amputated for our sins. This God-man came to the earth for the sole purpose of taking every single sin of every single person, of every generation, so that all of humanity could be forgven of their sins of past, present, and future. Like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. It is Jesus that you, I, and all of humanity are now completely restored in the fellowship with His Father. Jesus accomplishes all these things for us through His 6 long hours of suffering on that cross of Calvary, where He was amputated from His Father, and where He experienced hell in your place. I don't know if you catch it, but that's what He said when He said those words, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Or if you want to translate it another way, my God, why have you abandoned me?" He was cut off for you. And it was concluded when He spoke that stark word from that cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And He gave up His spirit and gave up His perfect life to be cut off out of the land of the living like the prophet Isaiah foretold. Jesus sealed or cut off of our sins 3 days later when he rose, when he restored all things and made all things new. By going through such extreme events, Jesus has earned, he has earned for you some remarkable, some awesome gifts. By Jesus' delivery, by Jesus being cut off, you are no longer stuck down by your sin. You don't have to be anxious or overwhelmed about the fear of earning salvation for yourself. You no longer have to live in the guilt and the shame of your sins. These things no longer have power for you. They have an answer. And that answer is Jesus. Jesus has done it all for you. For Jesus is your great physician, your great Savior. You no longer have to go through life alone. By your great physician, you are not left for dead because of your sin. Rather, your sin has been cut off by your Savior, Jesus. And now you walk with him. You walk with him out of the valley of the shadow of death that has been your prison into his marvelous light of eternal salvation, where you will dwell with him forevermore. Therefore, leave today, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Leave today in the confidence, knowing that whatever your sin, whatever your sorrow, whatever your shame, it no longer has power over you, because if your Savior Jesus went to extreme measures to be cut off, so that you, sins are now cut off, and you are now free. You walk with him today and always. For he is the one that gives you that hope. Amen. Please rise.